wonderful to be among all of you this evening in this very holy place, the divine abode of Sri Sri Radha Giridhari and their beloved associates and devotees, which means all of you. Thank you for being with us.
Amen.
Hare Krishna. Last night, we were speaking on a particular verse from Bhagavad Gita. Vidyavanaya sampane brahmani gavihasti. Suni chaiva swapake cha pandita samadha. That a learned person is one who sees every living being with equal vision. Whether one be a human being, male, female, black, white, red, yellow, brown, from whatever religion, from whatever nationality. Or whether one be an elephant, or a cow, or a dog, or one who eats dogs. Or to extend that, an insect, a tree. Wherever there's life, there is the presence of consciousness. And consciousness is a symptom of the Atma, or the living force, as Prabhupada would say, the soul. And Krishna tells in Gita, Mamayavam so jiva loke jiva bhuta sanata. That every soul is part and parcel of the Supreme Soul, or God, or Krishna. Jiva Goswami explains that as a ray of the sun is qualitatively one and the same with the planet of the sun, but quantitatively a fragmental part. Similarly, the living force, wherever there's life, is the presence of a divine spark of God, qualitatively one with God, quantitatively always subordinate to the supremacy of the origin of Krishna. And this vision brings about a spirit of compassion. Srila Prabhupada would often cite the Vedic term paradukaduki. This is the characteristic of a highly evolved human being. They are not selfish, but they are selfless. Another person's suffering becomes my suffering. Another person's happiness becomes my happiness. To actually feel, not just emotionally, but spiritually. In this regard, I'd like to share a story. Dravida Prabhu, if you grant your permission.
Okay.
When Dravida Prabhu grants permission, that gives authenticity to whatever I say. This took place just a few years back. I was in a very holy place in South India, Udupi. Udupi is known because it is the Bhajaka Kshetra, which is close by, was the birthplace of Sripad Madhvacharya, one of the greatest acharyas that ever lived. And our Gaudiya, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, we are in the line of Sripad Madhvacharya. And there is a deity, Udupi Krishna. Do you know the story of that deity? If I tell all these stories, the class will become too long. But a very sacred deity. Devaki and Dwarka wanted to see Krishna when he was a little boy in Vrindavan. Because in Dwarka, Krishna's a great grown-up prince. But she heard so many things about the leelas of Yashoda Mai and little Gopal and the stealing of butter. She wanted to see that form of Gopal. Because the day that Krishna was born in Mathura, the very night, within minutes, Krishna told Vasudeva and Devaki, take me across the Yamuna and leave me with Nanda Maharaj and Gokul. And she was in prison for the next 10.5 years. She never got to see Krishna. From prison, she would hear about the beautiful pastimes of love between Yashoda and Krishna. But now in the royal palaces of Dwarka, she asked Krishna, I want to see this form. So Krishna, who is, he has a chitta shakti, he could do anything, anytime. And his greatest pleasure is giving pleasure to his devotees. So right in front of her eyes, he took the form of little baby Gopal and started playing and stealing butter and everything. And he was holding a little rope from the churning, and he was holding a little stick for churning. And Rukmini saw this beautiful form, and after Krishna became his normal Dwarkadish, Rukmini said, I fell in love with that form. I want to worship you like that. So he self-manifested a deity of Gopal Gopal. And Rukmini worshipped in the inner sanctums of her palace. But then when Dwarka went under, most everything under the ocean, much of it, everything was lost. But there's a kund in Dwarka called Gopi Talab. Have any of you been there? That's where all Gopi Chandan comes from. Gopi Talab. Somehow or other, Krishna brought the gopis there. It's a beautiful story. And they all had leelas. And the dust of the lotus feet of Krishna and Radharani and all the gopis went to the bottom of that kund and formed the earth there. And to this day, although it's a dry kund, it is accepted by those with faith that all the dirt in that kund is the dust of the feet of Radha, Krishna, and gopis. And in honor of that, we put it on 12 parts of our body. Sanctify our body as a temple of the Lord. So, that took place about 5,000 years ago, just toward the end of the Dwapara Yuga. About 750 years ago, Madhvacharya was living there in Udupi. And one day he was sitting on the shore of the sea and he saw a boat sailing from the north to the south. There was a big windstorm That windstorm was so dangerous that it was about to sink the ship. And the person who was the owner of the ship was transporting all his valuables to be sold. So he happened to see Madhvacharya sitting on the shore. And he screamed out, "Can you help? Pray for me, pray for me." And Sripad Madhvacharya just took his jhana and went like this. And the wind stopped. Because Madhvacharya is the son of Vayu, the wind god. So he has special connections. It's good to know someone with special connections. And the person came and pulled his boat up and said, "I want to give you anything in this boat. I have so many valuable things." Madhvacharya said, "Where are you coming from?" He said, "I'm coming from Dwarka." He said, "Dwarka? That's where Gopi Chandan comes from. Do you have any Gopi Chandan? I don't care about all the rest of your stuff." He said, "Actually, I took a big piece of it." Just, he wasn't even a very devoted person. He had a big piece of Gopi Chandan that he happened to put on the boat just to balance the weight of the boat. So Madhvacharya said, "Just give me that. I'm a sannyasi. I care nothing for any of your material worldly goods." So he gave him that Gopi Chandan. And it's a beautiful story. But in brief, the Gopi Chandan cracked open, and that deity of Krishna that was worshipped by Rukmini in Dwarka was underground in Gopi Talab for all those 4,500 years. And by his own arrangement, through the heart of the boatman, put him in the boat and brought him to Madhvacharya. Sripad Madhvacharya put him on his shoulder and started singing beautiful songs as he was carrying him to the town of Udupi. And those songs, almost every day, the great people of that sampradaya sing those prayers. And since that, and Madhvacharya established all the intricacies of the worship for that deity. And they're still being performed to this day the same way. So I was there in Udupi, and I was taking some Ayurvedic treatment just outside of town. I was staying at a little two-story house, and His Holiness Naranjan Swami was with me. And I saw something very peculiar. There was just a dirt road in front of the house, near a railway track. Just one lane, fields around. And there was a mother dog and I was told by Naranjan Swami that this mother dog had four little puppies. And oh, how she loved her little puppies. Her full-time life work was just taking care of these puppies, giving them milk, licking their insects off of them, and watching over them. And he told me in the past week since he had been there, two of the puppies had been crushed under the wheels of moving cars. And each time a lady who was our neighbor, she felt so bad about this. Because it takes a mother to understand the heart of a mother. She buried both of those dogs. And she tried to give them a home on her property so they wouldn't just be out in the fields and on that road all the time. But the puppies and the mother just wouldn't live anywhere else, because that's where she was born and raised, and that's where they were born and raised, and that's all they knew, was that little roadside with the field next to it. And wherever else anyone took them, they just run back there. And I would watch very little tiny puppies, little furry balls, jumping around, frolicking through the field, and all the while the mother, you could just see, she feared so much that another one would be killed, constantly looking after them. one of the little puppies started to scratch into the side of the road. Scratching, and just each little scratch, just tiny bits of dirt, dust would fly behind them. They, for about over a week, as I was there, at least 2 hours a day, he'd just be going, little tiny claws like this, and little clumps of dirt. About 10 days later, there was a nice little hole. And he was so proud of that hole. He worked really hard to make that hole. And when the hole was big enough, he curled up into a little furry ball and went to sleep. And it was so sweet seeing him just curled up in his little hole. And his mother would come up to him every few seconds practically to check if he was all right. A few days passed, and every day I would chant japa, walk, because I was supposed to walk as part of my therapy. So I would walk and chant japa along this railway track. Nice railway track. I saw some nice snakes, too. And as I was walking, I went a little in, and I saw a temple for snakes. There were all these deities of snakes, cobras, with hoods in the temple. People were worshiping them. And I asked someone, you know, what is, can you tell me about your spiritual path? And they said, so many people get bit by snakes that we worship snake gods so that they won't bite our relatives. Okay. So anyways, I was chanting japa one morning. I was coming back to the house I stayed. I just turned on this little dirt road. And as I did, an SUV vehicle turned onto the road. It was going straight. And there happened to be that day a motorbike parked right in the middle of the road. So the vehicle just curved to the right and started going around a motorbike. And as the SUV was moving forward, I saw the front right tire slightly fall down. And I heard, then a second later, the right rear tire, I saw it sink down, but there was complete silence. And then I heard the mother dog howl. And I saw her running full speed to that hole. And I ran up there myself. And the mother dog was licking, and licking that little baby. And her little puppy was in a convulsion where the front arms and paws were going up and just shaking violently, traumatically shaking. And there was blood oozing from nostrils and mouth. And I sat right next to that hole and began to chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells us, Antakali chamameva smaran bhagva kaleva. What one remembers at the time of death, one will attain without fail. Nam Namakari. Mahaprabhu says that the holy name of the Lord is not different than the Lord. all of the qualities of Krishna within the two syllables, Krishna. And Sri Radharani is incarnated within the beautiful sound of the name Hari. So I sat there chanting very loudly as the dog was going through his convulsions and its front paws were just shaking and shaking, flaying up and down. And interestingly, the mother dog could sense that I really cared for her little puppy. And she walked a little to the side and sat there and let me chant for her child for about 10 minutes. And then the little puppy flung its front paws up high, and very slowly, in slow motion, they came down to his ribs, and he was gone. At that moment, I heard the mother, the most piteous whimper that you could possibly imagine. I'll never forget that sound. The sound of a mother's broken heart. I looked at her, and she stared right in my eyes. Agony, man, was all over her face. She was just a mutt. Skinny, with beige color fur. But as she looked in my eyes helplessly and desperately, I saw a tear just well and burst. And another one from the other eye, and it streaked down her furry face. At that point, she was crying so deeply she couldn't even make a sound. She just whimpered. And she licked and licked desperately, as if she was trying to lick life back into her dead little child. And then the little brother came, his only playmate, and stood by the side of that hole and howled desperately. Hours went by, and neither of them would leave. She kept licking, and the little child, brother was howling, run away and come back. Finally, I went to the neighbor. I said, please bury, otherwise she'll never forget this. So they buried the little dog. And for the rest of the day, the mother sat at the hole, smelling the hole, crying. And around midnight that night, I happened to wake up and walked on that a little balcony of the second story of his house, and I looked out, and there was the mother dog just sniffing and whimpering around that hole. And then she'd start walking away. She'd walk maybe about a minute away, then she'd run back to the hole and smell it and lick it. She did that all night. I remember thinking that there's a saying that we can dig our own grave. That saying had a very brutal reality to me on that day. And I thought back about the cows that I used to take care of. And I saw when a calf would die, how the mother had the same exact emotions. That dog, the mother, may not have the intelligence or the discrimination we had, but had affection. And that affection was personal. And you can only have personal affection if you are a person. Yes, wherever there is life, there is a divine person. Some may be elevated materially with higher intelligence, some may not be. But real compassion is to love the soul and honor and respect the rights of the soul. When our beloved Guru Maharaj would talk about the way animals were unnecessarily slaughtered, he would oftentimes become so emotional because he didn't just see them as animals. He saw them as parts of Krishna, as brothers, as sisters, as divine beings who have rights. And who are meant to ultimately evolve to Krishna consciousness, to pure devotional service. There's a beautiful story in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita about Sivananda Sen. He was a grihastha. He had wife, he had children, and he earned money. And he used a major portion of his money every year to arrange to bring 200 to 400 devotees from the Navadvip area to Puri in Orissa to be with Lord Chaitanya and Lord Jagannath. Srivita Prabhu, do you know about how many miles that is between Navadvip and Puri?
1,000.
It's about 1,000 miles. According to Srivita Prabhu, who is the, makes everything authentic. There were no hotels or motels, there were no restaurants on the way. He would have to arrange the cooking, he would have to arrange the accommodation, and the hardest parts is that India was not one country. Every little district was a different kingdom. And you had to pay taxes, and there were dacoits and cheaters. He did all the work so that the devotees could just happily enjoy going to Puri and having Namkirtan. So one day, a stray mutt, not a pedigree German shepherd, but just a mutt. You don't see pedigrees in India so much, except the really, really rich people. They usually have poodles or German shepherds. But this was a street dog, no owners. They didn't have owners in those days. And just happened to join the party. Sivananda Sen, he's just as important as anyone else here. And the dog couldn't eat the same prasad that the devotees were taking, because, you know, Bengalis probably put a lot of chilies in it and everything. So he had special plain rice made for that dog every day. And one day when he was going on a boat, the boatman said, no dogs allowed on this boat, but everyone had to cross a river. So he paid several times more for the fare of the dog than the people. He had to bribe the boatman. And one time when he was delayed paying taxes, he came back. He didn't see the dog. He asked the assistant, did you feed him? The assistant said, I forgot. Sivananda Sen was very disturbed. I offended one of my guests. And he and all of his assistants spent hours in all directions searching for the dog, but they couldn't find the dog. So he felt that he didn't help this dog to come to see Lord Chaitanya. You see, he wasn't just sentimentally attached to a dog. He was compassionate. He wanted to give that dog the opportunity to become liberated forever by having the association of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If he wants to come to see the Lord, I'm his servant. That was his mood. He felt bad. Finally, they all arrived in Puri, and one day in the morning, Shivananda Sen came alone to Lord Chaitanya's little courtyard at the Gambira. What he saw astounded him. There was Lord Chaitanya. He had a big piece of green coconut pulp, and he would take a bite out of it. Then he would take that right out of his mouth and throw it to the dog, the same dog. Lord Chaitanya would tell the dog, chant Krishna, and the dog would chant Krishna. And then after he chant Krishna, the Lord would take some coconut out of his mouth and throw it, and the dog would jump up and catch it and eat it. Shivananda Sen paid his dandavats. He bowed down to the lotus paws of that dog. Thinking, I have offended this great soul. The next day, that dog was nowhere to be seen. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami reveals why. Because that dog was dear to Shivananda Sen, anyone who becomes dear to a great devotee becomes very dear to Krishna. And Krishna gives very special mercy. Yesterday we talked about how Suki, or Duki, became Suki because she was dear to Srivas Thakur. So this dog, simply on the merit that Srivas Thakur showed compassion to him, Lord Chaitanya sent that dog to the spiritual world. Gave that dog the highest perfection of liberation of an eternal spiritual body in Vaikuntha. Paratukaduki. To be instruments of Lord Chaitanya's compassion. Shuddhakirti Prabhu tells a story. Once Prabhupada was sitting in his room and Shuddhakirti Prabhu, his servant, just saw him. He was always just looking to the side of the room. His eyes were gazing with very deep, deep compassion and just looking on the side of the room, and Shuddhakirti was trying to figure out what's he looking at. Couldn't see anything. And after some time, Srila Prabhupada said, go get a leaf from the tree outside. He got a little leaf. He said, there's a little insect there. And he's lost here. He can't find any food. He said, gently put the leaf under him and then pick him up and put him on the tree so he could find nice food to eat. To see Krishna within the heart. These qualities are our natural qualities. When Srila Prabhupada came to the Western world, after living in Vrindavan for so many years, the society he came to, he said, human beings were really living like cats and dogs and insects. Animalistic propensities. And it is that compassion that was our qualification. And it was that compassion that Srila Prabhupada wanted us to access through a life of devotion. Lord Chaitanya, when he talked to Haridas Thakur, how to deliver all these souls. Haridas Thakur said, You have already delivered everyone by the chanting of the holy names. Lord Chaitanya asked, what about the non-moving beings? He said, the echo of your chanting is their chanting. If we love Krishna, his mission will be our mission. That is what Srila Prabhupada taught us. Prema Pumartaman, the ultimate, supreme of all realizations, is this love of God that is unmotivated and uninterrupted. When in chanting the holy names, in reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, and associating with devotees, we develop a strong spiritual foundation. And then whatever we do in our life should be built on that foundation. Foundation of spiritual character, spiritual integrity, and the intent for loving service. It's said in the Bible that if you build a house on shifting sand, when a storm comes, it's going to be blown down. But if you build a house on solid rock, no storm can move it. And there will be so many storms in our life. But if we sincerely take shelter of the chanting of Krishna's names, take shelter of sincere and earnest prayers to the deities, take share of the knowledge, the wisdom, the beautiful examples from the scriptures, and the association of devotees, that foundation can give us strength. And whatever we're doing in our life, if we build it on that foundation of bhakti, then when the inevitable storms come, we remain compassionate servants of Krishna and maintain our integrity. So today, we are performing a very special initiation ceremony. Our very beloved Mandy, the virtuous wife of Nila Madhava Prabhu, is coming forward to dedicate her life the loving service of Srila Prabhupada, Radha Giridhari, and the Vaishnavas. It's very special. And these qualities that we're speaking about are the qualities that Prabhupada wanted us to cultivate. Srila Prabhupada, before each initiation ceremony, he would have us chant a particular mantra or a verse. Om apavitra apavitrova sarvavastam gatopiva yasmaret pundarikaksham sabhaya vyantara suchi. Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu, Shri Vishnu. Which means, actually, Mandy and Neela Madhava, please sit here. Translation of this verse is whether one is purified or unpurified, or even having passed through all situations of life, one who remembers the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes purified both within and without. Krishna is all pure, pavitra. What we associate with, we become like that. If we associate with the all pure, we become purified. This verse encapsulates the very purpose of initiation and the very purpose of life. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Satya Kapunai Sravanati Sudhi Cheti Koriyayodoy. Lord Chaitanya taught that pure love of God is within the heart of every living being. But it's covered. And due to that covering, we have forgotten it for a long time. But by chanting the holy names of the Lord, the Yuga Dharma, and by rendering service to the Lord and associating with his devotees, that love is naturally awakened. Srila Prabhupada gives a very simple but powerful example. That when a drop of water falls from a cloud, it's transparent and pure. But when that drop comes in contact with the earth and becomes muddy, it loses its transparency. Because it's mixed with something that's not water. But when you filter the water, you bring it back to its original natural condition. The Prabhupada explained this chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. It is the most powerful method, especially in this age, and the simplest way to filter our consciousness and remove the dirt of lust and envy and anger and greed and pride and illusion and bring our consciousness back to its original, natural, pure, transparent state. Like a mirror, he explains. If a mirror is covered with dust, you see dust. But when a mirror is cleansed, when the mirror of the mind is cleansed of the dust of all these misconceptions, desires, and aversions, then we see ourself. Satchidananda, eternal, full of knowledge, full of bliss. We're part of God. An ecstatic, intimate love of God is within us. And to be an instrument of that love is the greatest satisfaction of the soul. In order to do that, Lord Chaitanya gave the example of a gardener watering the seed. If the seed of bhakti is awakened by the spiritual masters, the water is the holy names, Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing and chanting, but along with it come weeds. We have to be very careful to not water those reeds by giving our attention to them, by serving them. The weeds of desire for profit, adoration, distinction, the weeds for selfish enjoyment. And in order to keep this creeper, this plant of bhakti to grow without hindrance, it is recommended that we live in the mode of goodness, sattva-guna. Srila Prabhupada quoted the scriptures that from sattva-guna we could transcend the modes of nature to the transcendental plane. That means to be humble, to be forgiving, to be honest, to be moral. And basic morality in the Vaishnava school is no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating. If we follow these four principles very carefully, live in a humble spirit of servitude, guard against offenses, and chant the holy names. And that beautiful, precious seed of devotion within us will grow and will ultimately blossom into life's perfection. And within our society, we are all unified by Srila Prabhupada's historical, incredible compassion. Can you imagine at the age of 70? I was just speaking the other day that recently, on Friday the 13th of August, we celebrated one of the most auspicious days in history. Friday the 13th, very auspicious. Bhagavad Gita talks about the banyan tree on the bank of the lake, how the top is the bottom and the bottom is the top, how what's good in the material world is it's an opposite in reflection to the spiritual life. Well, people are very much thinking Friday the 13th is inauspicious. But on Friday the 13th of August 1965, Srila Prabhupada boarded the Jalatuta. That's where the voyage began. And this year, exactly 45-year anniversary. And after a few days, he got two heart attacks in the Arabian Sea. And ultimately, it was a 38-day journey. Knew nothing, had nothing. But he had such sincere faith in the Holy Name and such deep compassion. And he had the order of his guru. So he brought us all together. So we are a family, his family. Some of us are acting as Diksha Gurus, some of us are acting as Shiksha Gurus, some of us are acting as GBC, some are acting as temple presidents, some are acting as temple commanders, some are acting as pujaris, some are acting as congregational devotees, working and exemplifying pure bhakti in their lifestyles. What's important is we're all unified to help each other to live pure lives, to assist Srila Prabhupada's great mission. Lord Chaitanya taught us that we shouldn't aspire for any position beyond Gopi Bhartur Padakamalayora Dasa Dasa Dasa. Servant of the servant of the servant of the servant. So within our movement, initiation is a vow of sincere intention to be a to honor Srila Prabhupada's mission and to be the servant of the servant. The real initiation, Srila Prabhupada explained, is faith, the willingness to follow, and the willingness to serve. The formality of initiation is a very sacred event where we officially connect ourselves. But the real connection is our spirit of devotion. So I'm so grateful today that Mandy is taking this step forward. I've known her for several years and found her to be extremely sincere, extremely dedicated, extremely determined, very honest, and just a wonderful soft-hearted personality. And anyone who decides to choose Neela Madhava as their husband must be a very, very exalted personality. I'm so proud of you. like to call upon Vajranarayan Prabhu to speak some words of his appreciation of Madhuri.
I tried to get out of it.
If you could come forward and...
I can speak to them, I'll be short. Because they want to hear you, they don't want to.
No, they want to hear you. How many people want to hear Vajranarayan
Prabhu? Only because you're asking.
No. I'll be short.
No, not short.
I'm going to have to disobey Maharaj. Trivita Prabhu, being the authority, can give us the reference. But it's described in the Vedic literature, the rarity of coming in contact with a bona fide spiritual master. And if you can just have the picture within your mind for a moment, we're here by the Pacific Ocean. So it says if you have the entire ocean, so just imagine how vast, I think it covers 1/7 of the ocean's world surface of whatever it is. Huh?
3/5.
3/5. So you can imagine how vast the ocean. See, he is authoritative. So you can imagine how vast the ocean is. Now in that ocean, there's one turtle. Imagine. And also in that ocean, just that turtle's there at random. And then at random, there's one log floating in the ocean. Whole ocean, one log, floating at random. And by chance, one of those, that one turtle just happens to surface where that one log is floating. Now in that log, there's one knot hole. And his head goes through that one knot hole. What are the odds of that? It is said that the odds of meeting a bona fide spiritual master are more rare than that in the Vedic literature. So it is a great good fortune that we're standing here at this moment. I remember when I got my beads for initiation, and you maybe you've seen Prabhupada do this. He'll hold out the beads. You can see on the videos. And the devotees were, and if you think of the sojourn of the soul across, you know, what are the odds? And they would reach out for the beads, and Prabhupada would lift them up. And they'd miss. And he'd say, and what are the regular principles? And how many rounds will you chant? Then when they said their vow, then he would give them their beads. So Prabhupada, in a letter to me, he said, these are your japamala. These are your beads. He said, these are your beads. Please string and oil them nicely. They are your ticket back to Godhead. So to simply know, like when Prabhupada, they asked about the meaning of initiation, and Prabhupada said, if you're in the airport and you have the ticket, when the plane comes, you get on the plane and you'll go. So to have a bona fide spiritual master, which Radhanath Maharaj, even anyone who knows me knows that I tend to find fault, although if I study my own heart, there will be sufficient subject matter. And I am not able to find any fault in Radhanath Maharaj. Rather, I am inspired and enlivened by him regularly. So to find such a rare opportunity, I wanted to thank Radhanath Maharaj for giving shelter to Mandy, and I wanted to thank Mandy for having the intelligence to take it. Hare Krishna.
You have a lot of say a couple words.
I think I maybe speak for even a shorter time, but I want to say that in the entire time that I've known Mandy, she has always struck me as one of the most sincere and genuine people I've ever known in my life. She took to Krishna consciousness immediately and was always doing everything she could to progress in the most real way imaginable. I've been in the temple my entire life and have known so many amazing devotees. And in a short time, Mandy has actually been an inspiration to me to watch her spiritual life and to watch her dedication. Has been really just an amazing thing. And this is one of the happiest moments, I think, of my life, and something that I'll always remember. And I also want to say that Radhanath Swami has been such an inspiration and such a guiding light to both of us for many years. And to have this happening, to be here and share this with so many people that I've grown up with and known my entire life is one of the most amazing experiences of my life. So, thank you.
Mahatattva Prabhu, Eddie, would you like to say a few words? Timing because the initiation should be in front of the deities.
Should it be open?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I need to open the curtains.
Okay.
All right. Like now? Shri Radha Krishna ki kirat maharaj ki
I came down here to San Diego at the end of 2003. And shortly after that, I got to know Bhakti Mandy. And all these years, she's been doing one service, one among other services. And that was stringing garlands, I think, once, twice a week? What is it? Once, twice a week?
Every Wednesday.
Okay, so every Wednesday. And she would come every Wednesday afternoon. Now, on a Wednesday afternoon, there's no one here. There's no one in here. There's nothing happening here. It's, you know, Brahmacharya is out, and those days, there were no Brahmacharyas here either. So there was really nobody here. But sometimes nowadays, you can have a bhakta or two waiting for the latest prasadam offering to come out. And she was stringing these garlands every day alone, and this impressed me as, here's a person who's, you know, not getting recognized for this service, and, you know, she works long hours, works hard, and, you know, after the work, or before the work, whenever she manages to squeeze this in, she would come every day here to be alone. I mean, I knew when I took up Krishna consciousness and my passion and mind and, you know, sense gratification, addicted senses, always needed to be entertained. And to be alone, to do even something so divine as devotional service, it's by no means entertaining. But she was doing it alone. She was there alone, and she was doing this for a very long time. And then again, it struck me as a very sincere devotional service because she wasn't even getting recognized for it. There was no one around to acknowledge it. And, you know, we weren't, you know, screaming and shouting and jawing on Sundays when everybody's here in recognition of this service. So just that one little thing, which is not a little thing, it's a really big thing. Because I tried to ask some other devotees to do service like that. It's not that easy. So that low, so-called low service was evidence to me that evidence of a very, very dedicated person. And she also, when I started the Shastradana program, she was really quick to get one of those racks. You may know that I have these racks. Placing these racks filled with sponsored books all over San Diego, and she took several of those racks on her own initiative, and would get the books from me most often, buy them with her own hard-earned money, and refill these racks and maintain them regularly. Which is another thing that you know, it takes dedication, and it takes some sincerity, it takes some deep understanding of Krishna consciousness. Srila Prabhupada said that one who practices Krishna consciousness but does not teach it to others has an imperfect realization of Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.
Can we move this, please? Servant of the servant of the servant of Srila Prabhupada's devotees. Thank you. It's a very special moment for me. My dear God brother Bhakti Narayan Prabhu's daughter. Very special. We are all very proud of you. Very grateful. On behalf of Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Parampara, I'm very much honored to offer you the name Madhavi Priya Devi Das. Fire sacrifice type of yagya will take place a little later. But today we're going to have the supreme yagya of Nam Sankirtan. And we would like for this very, very holy occasion to be blessed by Trivida Prabhu to chant a mantra to bestow all auspiciousness upon Madhavi Priya Devi and everyone else. Please.
Hare Krishna. I'm very happy to be here at this very auspicious, glorious occasion. And one verse comes to mind, which is appropriate. This verse is by Madhavendra Puri. It's quoted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his instructions to Sanat Goswami in the latter part of the Madhya Lila. Prabhupada would quote this verse sometimes. Kama dinam katina katita palita duni deshas. Tesham jata maina karuna anatrapa no pashantihi. Utsrit jayatam patiyarupate sampratam lagna buddhis. And this verse really embodies the spirit of the devotee who's seriously taking up devotional service and approaching a spiritual master and approaching Krishna. It says, I put it into a little poem. I cite the poem. Forgive me for this. In how many ways have I sought to obey the seductive demands of my wicked desires? They've shown me no mercy, yet on I've gone, shamelessly trying to quench lust's unquenchable fires. But now I'm rejecting these hellish desires, for my higher intelligence now has awoken. O Krishna, O shelter of fearlessness, please let me serve you with faith that will never be broken. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Sir. Could someone bring a harmonium here? Everyone, please pray for the blessings of Radhagiri Dhari upon Madhavi Priya by loudly chanting Hari Bol. A million times louder, please.